Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Here we are, May 18th. I don't know how it is around the rest of the country, but here in Northern California, I just saw a Facebook post from my niece and my great nephews and great nieces that are up the hill a little bit, up at their ranch in Pasquetta. And she took a picture of the kids all around the swimming pool, and the ground is white. It's hail, actually, not snow. They do get snow occasionally, but anyway, we've had some tumultuous thunderstorms in the evenings here in Northern California. It rained all last night, woke up this morning to sunshine, and I hope everybody else is having pleasant weather, at least where they are. And it's kind of a funny spring in a lot of ways. We didn't have much of an April, no April showers, but I guess we're getting them in May. We're joined today by Joanne Nesbitt, fabulous author from Florida. Her book, The High Cost of Service. Wow, was that a mental block, Joanne? The High Cost of Service. Joanne has a unique background. She's been an educator, a university president, college president, and she decided a while back to write a book. It is a fiction book about her 50-year experience regarding Agent Orange and PTSD and all of those wonderful things that many of our friends and relatives have brought with them from the late 60s when we spent time in the jungles. And we have Nancy. Lou Henderson, delightful lady from Sweeney, Texas, who decided a couple of years ago after finding some letters up in the attic to share with the world the 150 letters her husband wrote to her and what she wrote back during their while he was overseas. And now we've got three books published, and the fourth is about ready. Is that correct, Nancy? Getting awfully close to the fourth book?
Yes, but they were actually found in a cedar chest in the storage shed.
That's
But
right. Okay.
I don't want people to think I'm not telling that story right. Yes, I'm finishing up probably a couple of more, if not three chapters, and I've got one about finished. So we have a book cover and just getting it done. And
Very good.
I'm excited about that. So, other than that, I'm just being me.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about what you do being you. And Jerry Callison, who has been a regular caller for quite a while, Jerry did mute himself. He's having a medical treatment this afternoon. We always enjoy Jerry's input. Jerry is a published author. The most recent book, right before the end of the year at the holidays, was the most delightful children's book I've ever seen. My great grandchildren are ecstatic about it. A Mouse in the House for the Love of Peanut Butter by Jerry Callison and illustrated by Donna Setterlin, who's also been a caller on the show. And that book, poor Jerry, he ordered a bunch for early sales, and unfortunately, he ran out within 24 hours. And he just had to keep ordering books, it seemed like every hour until he was able to fill the order. So, and we have a new person with us today. She's currently muted, but I know she knows how to unmute herself. We have Julie Whitmer, who I met through our friend Peter Right up in Canada. Julie's also in Canada. She has a unique service that some authors may or may not be interested in, but any business or anyone who is publishing, but even self-help books, whatever. Julie's a cartographer, and she creates beautiful maps and diagrams for books. And also, I'll learn more about it when she talks to us. And I see flashing out here is 301, and I think that's Lou McIntyre, isn't it?
That is, and Karen is with
And
me. What's up
Karen
there,
also.
Chuck?
All right, very good. We've got the McIntyre group with us. Good to hear from you, Karen. And I didn't ask last time, and I feel remiss. I know you had a medical bout back a few months ago, and I'm sure, because I've seen you popping around, you're well on the mend. I'm pretty sure of that. Or how are things going?
Yep, everything's good. I had breast cancer. I had a mastectomy, and everything is lovely now.
She's going to have a ceremonial burning of the bra with another breast cancer survivor.
All right. Okay. I remember those days. But you know what hurt my feelings? Sherry turned around the other day, and she says, "Oh, my God, you're going to need a bra." Well, she was not being as active as I usually am, I guess I've gained a pound or two, but we're going to rapidly get rid of it. So, okay, before we go on, we're going to introduce Julie Whitmer from, you're on Ontario, Canada, Julie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what we do here is this show has been around for many years. It primarily started out from a membership that I had formed of people who were interested in growing a business, either from scratch or breathing new life into their businesses. And this is the 465th episode, but in the last few years since I've gotten involved in publishing, the bulk of our callers have been, oh my gosh, there's Joan Nesbitt. Oh, there she is. Okay. The bulk of our callers have been authors and people in the related industry. Although we do have non-book publishing, non-book writing people that join the show, local business people, people with brick and mortar stores, people who offer services. We've had our share of medical professionals who want to grow their business. So the whole gist of the show is to talk about and share ideas on how people can grow their businesses through innovative systems. Of course, social media has been around, really helped everything I've done. Social media drives well over 1 million people to our websites a year, and it all comes from social media. So we're also sharing ideas on how that works. So Julie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, please. You've got the mic, Julie. Uh-oh. Did we lose Julie? Julie, are you there? Uh-oh. What happened? Can everybody hear me? Joanne, can you hear me?
Yes.
I got you.
Okay. I got you.
I can hear you.
Okay. Are you there? Oh, Mark's here. Okay, Mark Hultgren. I don't know what happened to Julie.
All right. Hello, Mark.
Wait a minute. Are you there, Julie?
Looks like she's gone.
Julie. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, we're just going to start to introduce her. Well, we have Mark Hultgren here with us, better known as MK Webb. I'm glad Mark could join us today. Until Julie gets back and until I see her, wait a minute, open chat. Sorry. Oh, her browser crashed. She's rebooting. Okay, I'm sorry. Now she can't hear anything. Okay, real quick, one of the items that I wanted to talk about very quickly today, this is an interesting time of the year for me business-wise. We always had a planning meeting in December, and I've always felt it important to do a half year. I know it's not June yet, but to kind of do a review of where we are compared to what we planned at the beginning of the year, what we anticipated, the proposed cash flow projection that we did for each of our campaigns and businesses, and also we kind of take a look at how well our social media time has been spent. And so I wrote down here, review Facebook pages and groups. I know we haven't spent much time in groups here. Jim and I have found that two groups have done well for us, the groups that we formed. And I'm just going to ask, does anybody else have a group? I think Lou has a group going, don't you, Lou?
Yeah, I got two on my author's page. One is on physics and the other one is on history.
Okay. Now, very quickly, or as much time as you want, what are the groups doing for you? Julie, are you back? Yeah, Julie's back. Okay, well, we're going to come back to Julie in just a moment. Lou, why don't you share with us a little bit about why the groups were formed and what advantage do you see them providing you and your followers?
Is that to me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure whether that was. Basically, two topics. It's my alternative to blogging.
Okay.
One kind of focuses on relativity, which is one of my books that's in final edit. And the other one is, of course, on history, which is a discussion and also has turned out to be a spot where a lot of people drop in their historical fictions to advertise them, which is fine by me.
Sure. Very good. That's right, because you are well known for what we call historical fiction, and you're quite a researcher. And I think what Lou provides his readers and fans is the opportunity to enjoy history, because he wraps them around stories that are very very interesting, if to say the least, and we do get the chance to maybe see things through a different set of eyes. So Julie's back. Let's take a moment and have Julie tell us about herself, how she evolved into her current business, which is very fascinating. And go ahead, Julie.
Hello, everyone. Sorry about that. My computer was being a jerk.
That's okay.
It does it periodically. I've been making maps for about 8 years now, 7 years with my own business. And it's my third career, and this is the one that's going to stick, because it's so much fun just to make maps. It's just, I could just do that all day long. Well, I do it all day long. But my first career was archaeology. And then, those were some of the first maps I made, like drawing the squares and uh-huh. measuring and that's when I actually started collecting maps too. I mean, aside from like roadside or like road maps from trips, maps as art I collected. Mm-hmm. Some I've got like black and white maps of archaeological excavations for Syria and Turkey.
Wow.
I collected those. And then I worked in IT for about 15 years. And when I got laid off from that, it's like I didn't really want to do the same network administration job for the rest of my life. I wanted to do something that's creative. That you know, at the end of the day, you can say, look what I've done. So I imagine a lot of you like writing books, you have the same, you've created something, you put something out into the world. It's a good feeling. And I make maps for all sorts of different businesses and municipalities and even individuals. Maybe 30 to 40% of my clients for the past 7 years have been authors and publishers.
Mm-hmm.
So even just in the last few months, that seems to be even probably a higher percentage. I've done a map before Christmas of someone's writing a book on the Vrouw Maria, an 18th century shipwreck. We wanted a map for that.
Wow.
Someone is writing a book about their experiences as an international adoptee from Colombia and wanted a map of that. Another person is writing a history of indigenous peoples in four countries and wanted maps for those. So it's all over the place.
Well, you know, this is kind of interesting. We have Lou here, who is a historical. I love Lou's book that is, what do I want to say, focused on ancient Roman times. And I'm just saying that people like Lou could probably benefit if they don't already utilize maps, but How do you do that, Julie? You coordinate with the author, or you read their, you kind of have to read their story, don't you?
Sometimes I don't. It just recently I've started to. But actually, it's very strange. One of the very first projects I did was this gentleman was writing historical fiction set in about the Roman Empire in Asia. So just a series of maps for him for that. It's an ebook. But usually, so for I was working with Victoria Adams on this. This was a she's writing books on about the Book of Job, so she wanted Jewish philosophers and Christian fathers, just places that they traveled around the Mediterranean. So she actually just sort of sent me a screenshot of the areas she wanted and a list of the places. The people that wrote the shipwreck book, the Mara Voorhees, she, I think she just gave me a few places. It was very few cities wanting to be on the map, but then she had a, she drew out the route of the ship's path before it shipwrecked on a Google map, and then just sent me a screenshot of that. Usually they give me a list, but the history of the indigenous peoples in four countries, I'm reading those chapters and suggesting what are good maps to put in there. So I think, like, for an example, for you wanted just writing history of New Zealand and wanted to show the reduction of Maori owned land. But there were no data sets that we could use for the intervening years. The data, the images that he sent me were copyright protected. So we are able to use modern. So I read his chapter and I said, well, you really don't need to see, 1865 and 1929 and all these different times. You can see what they initially had and what they have now. And it shows how there's very little left. And he's really just wants an overview map at the beginning of each chapter, just so people know, get a general idea of what they're looking at and what they're reading about.
What are the things that I know we're still discussing, and obviously we're not going to do it here, but there is an added cost that authors should be aware of if they start adding illustrations. I know there are many books that illustrations are de rigueur, and a lot of how-to books and things of that nature. But have you found the added cost to be exorbitant, the actual printing costs of adding maps to these books?
I'm not familiar with the costs of that.
Okay.
They've told me. I think that's why some of them just want the bare minimum,
Chuck, I got a comment on that.
Okay, well, here's Lou. Let's bring Lou in for a moment. Okay. Thank you.
Well, for self-published on KDP, and The Eagle and the Dragon has a lot of maps in it, and Karen's upcoming book has a lot of maps in it. There's no cost. I mean, if they're in the text and they're formatted and they're laid in right and they stay within the boundaries, there's no cost. And my upcoming relativity book has, at last count, 50 diagrams in there. So, but no cost. They're all done in PowerPoint, and I dump them in as JPEGs.
Okay. So and now, are these colored or pretty much grayscaled, Lou?
I use grayscale because if you're going on KDP, if you want to do color, it raises the production cost.
Yes. Okay.
And but not that much.
Oh, okay.
But for right now, I have just kept mine in black and white and grayscale.
Very good.
Oh, yeah, I was told that the cost for with color went up. I just didn't know how much.
Right. Right. Well,
I'm very interested in this topic because maps are an issue for me. I happen to use an old military map program called Falcon View, but I'm not on not a contractor anymore, and I can't get an update for it. And I'd like to find something better.
Well, that's one reason why, kind of a coincidence, Lou. I it's not like I'm setting up because Karen's here too. but I thought it would be unique for Julie to join us because of people like yourself and even Nancy, with the way her stories flow through she and Frank's life, which had location changes. And Joanne going, your book's published, but you may publish an edition sometime in the future. Her book, of course, is discussing actual events that happened during the Vietnam War. And a lot of people, when they read her book, may not have any idea where it is she's talking about, because most of her stuff is offshore, because we're involved with the United States Navy. And Mark just said, since he is a CAD expert, or various GIS programs have multiple layers available. So those are things Mark is a technician. He knows all about that stuff. So anyway, I just thought it was very interesting. And Julie and I and Jim are discussing this final book, and hopefully we can come to some resolution. So again, going back to we did have an agenda somewhat. The review of pages, and I'm glad to hear Lou talk about groups. And that's one thing about groups. Page typically, or at least what we've had success with, is our page is the traffic generator to the website. Last year, Facebook sent 500,000 readers to the website through the Facebook page. Okay. The group page becomes more of an engagement place. And as Lou mentioned, it's kind of a blog, but we encourage engagement with the people on the group. And it can get kind of contentious. Now, there's a negative side to a group, and there's a negative side to a Facebook page. They have to be managed. And management is time consuming. And if you do not respond to your fans or group members in a reasonable amount of time, you will see that the group page will rapidly deteriorate. And so, again, this is an added responsibility, but it's basically free. It's another way for you to gain your notoriety as a producer of quality content. So, Lou, you have really helped yourself on your groups, haven't you?
I've done what with my groups? I haven't been as active as I should be.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm well aware of what you just said.
Okay. Yeah, all these things sound good, but then we got to sit back and look at them, So, anyway, Jerry's still out on his infusion. The other thing that I asked about in the mail that we sent out to announce the show is this time of the year, I know some of us in the first part of the year have entered contests. That, again, is another time-consuming situation. So you can go broke very quickly entering contests that charge fees. But there's an awful lot of writing contests that are basically no fee. However, it is your time and energy to create some quality content. And Nancy, I know you have entered several contests. And what kind of, do you feel that you've gotten a return on your investment?
Yes, in two separate ways. Booksy, I entered one over there, and it was just like $6.99. Cost me less than a ad on, or a boost on a Facebook page.
Right.
But that one has brought readers. 715 now have read that.
Great.
And I see that happening over to My website now is good. This in the last 10 days, I wrote it down because it's unbelievable to me too. Had 604 visitors who read 13,702 pages. That has been happening since. Actually, I owe a lot of credit to the Yak King video. That sent a lot, and when I posted that it was up there, it's free to read during COVID-19, go on up there and do it. And I hope I'm keeping Mark busy, keeping people out of there that aren't good guys. That really helped. I also went into a Readsy. You didn't pay. It was free. And I've actually put some up and had them published in different places like Academy of the Heart and Mind and Spill Words and the Writers Club. Those are not contests, really. They do come down to that when if people go up there enough and like and read them, then you can get Author of the Month or Fiction Story of the Month or something like that. I haven't made that, but it's a good practice. And then also the Readsy, you didn't pay to enter it, but they would pay you if you won. But then I got lots of people going there and reading because I published it out, of course, myself on Facebook. But that one was, I don't know what they do with them, whoever wins. The person who won, I was about fifth down, mm-hmm. but they had like 125 to 50 reads, and mine was between 25 and 30. So but they sent me an email asking me if I would go on there and like and read someone else's and in the comments give them edit corrections. And I thought, no, I'm not qualified for that deal. it's just a good experience. Anytime you go somewhere different or do something different, it's a good experience. And like I said, when I did the thing with Peter, that was my first real get out there and say something. And I think it had 154 likes on it the other day. So that's still a lot of traffic. I don't know why someone wants to look at this old lady talk, but it's a nice place to have people come and see you and get to know you. Tony's done one. I think Lou, did y'all do one yet? You've done one, Chuck.
We did, and he had some problems when he downloaded it. He deleted it, so we got to do it again on Tuesday. But I do thank you for recommending us to him. We will be live this week if he doesn't lose that file.
It was awesome. They're just great people, and Joanne's doing one tomorrow, and he asked me, and I gave him JC's too, but I told him that JC has migraines, so setting a date, I didn't know, but there's several others I gave to him, Brianna Rush. He asked me, and I said, you can tell me to stop. He said, no, this is great. We're lining them up. But they go up, read your website, and look around and get to know you, and then have a great interview with you, and it costs you nothing, and it's they're just fun to deal with. I know Diane Stevenson he was going to get, and I think Carmen agreed to an audio.
Fantastic.
She wouldn't I think if she knew what it was like, it's not like in front of someone, you're just talking to them on a computer, mm-hmm. And she's a teacher, so she'd probably blow us all away. Anthony was fun to watch, to get to know people and see them. Of course, Chuck, we see you and we know what you sound like. And yours was awesome. But I keep going in every day and watching them and trying to add up the scores there. those are things. But I did notice during this time that I just went on Smashwords and there were 18 different downloads there, and that I had it free, and also it said three from Barnes and Noble and mm-hmm. a book and three ebooks sold on Amazon during this time.
Good.
That was unexpected because it's free up on my website, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that Smashwords, by the way, for those of you that are listening today, tomorrow, and in the future, is a free place, believe it or not, that you can upload your digital books. You have a nice author profile you can develop. They do allow you to put up, well, what they do is you tell them your books published on Amazon, and they use their affiliate link. They attach their affiliate link to it, which doesn't hurt my feelings. The books are still being sold. And Smashwords is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And they send money every month. I mean, they deposit money in your PayPal account on a monthly basis, about the 23rd of the month. And they sell to Google Books, iTunes. They handle iTunes and Kobo, and the list goes on forever.
Walmart.com.
Walmart, right. If anybody is not on Smashwords, I think now digital only, please remember these are ebooks only. All they ask you to do is provide them an EPUB file. And that's one we haven't talked about for a while, but I mean, why not be there? Why not? It's free. And there's nothing wrong with another source of traffic, another source of building an audience. And so I think it's just something to consider. The Nancy said something to me. Nancy said something to me that struck a thing here. But Lou wanted to say something, I know.
Lou, mate?
Yeah, were you trying to say something?
Well, I was talking to Karen. Just mentioned that to give it a try, and we'd have to come off Kindle Unlimited, and that's about one-third of our sales on Amazon are Kindle Unlimited, and we actually get more per book than we do with the regular Kindle sale. By the way, sales for March and April and May have been through the roof.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, Karen has sold 100 books this month, and I've sold 90.
Wow, amazing. Fantastic.
And on a very, very positive note, the draft is done of the book that I've been working on, and now I am editing all 124,000 words worth.
Okay. All right. Hey, I'm learning this new platform, and I apologize. I saw a hand raise, and it was Jerry's hand. Jerry, am I not recognizing you, or am I supposed to do something, or what here?
That's fine. I just unmuted myself. You were talking about Smashwords. I strongly recommend it. If you're on Kindle Unlimited, I understand, you know, staying there if that's working for you, but Smashwords gets you into just almost every retailer. Yes, it's ebook only, but they're worldwide. I've made sales in Africa, in India, in Japan, Australia, at a couple other countries. So yeah, I get exposure there that I don't get with Amazon. I love it because you can also upload it just as a Word doc.
Oh, you can. I thought it had to be an EPUB. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't have to be EPUB. And they have what they call the meat grinder. And what it does is it then reformats your document into every machine language. It does the EPUB, it does whatever Kindle calls theirs.
Mobi.
It does it for Kobo. It does the it puts it out as just as a PDF, or it puts it out in, you know, just it about anything that you can want it into.
You know what amazes me about that site, everybody, is that I know that they're getting affiliate commissions from people who are on different profiles and may want to go over and buy the ebook from, or buy the hardcover books or the paperbacks from Amazon. And but they have, I forget what the numbers are. So even though they earn just a few pennies per book, they must be doing very well, because so far they've never asked me for any money. And I think that's true for everybody else, correct?
No, they won't ask you because they upload everything for free. But, you know, they do charge a commission for everything that is sold. Well, and that's only fair. It's a whole less than Amazon charges.
Oh, yeah.
At present time, they have published 19,021,130,895 words.
Oh, my gosh.
that's 537,545 books. They have 84,091 free books, and they have 49,564 books available for sale.
Wow. And that's another thing that I think we've all learned is, like, we participated in their May special where we went in and dropped the price of our ebooks a little bit. So that doesn't have to stay all the time. You actually set the time frame. Then you go out and let people know that your book might be directly on Smashwords. So thank you very much, Jerry, for helping us out on that. Before I go on to what I was going, let's see, I got to look at my thing again. Self-published, no cost, okay, 18th century, two groups. Again, well, I was going to talk about taking a look at your business plan for the middle of the year. Joanne, you've been awfully quiet back there today. Why don't you share something exciting with us?
Yes, well, I've been approached to turn my book in, to have it made into a short movie, to put it in the plot pile to see if it would be chosen. I'm kind of a little bit digging into that a little bit more. And it just made me feel really good, because I think it would make a great movie.
Yeah. And also, in your case, whoever you're talking to is very much aware that they have to be very careful and make sure that it's absolutely fictionalized, right?
Right. And they have my script, so they know what it is.
Okay.
And they're the ones that approached me, which made me feel good.
Yeah. Okay, because you give away a lot of government secrets in your I know the Department of Defense.
I'll tell you, that's one of the things I was thinking about on the radio show tomorrow. And you know, it's funny, because since I put my book out, the CIA has released quite a bit more information regarding.
Yes, they have.
and it's matter of fact, it's freed me from getting any kind of repercussions from the government because of that. So I feel pretty good about it. One of the things tomorrow I want to talk about is the fact that these sailors who endured and who saved us from World War III suffered a life not being recognized by our government, but being ostracized and basically living life in PTSD and Agent Orange, and not having the best life because of it. And it's really a shame, because they finally have gotten some kind of recognition by getting Medicare, medical care, and some kind of monetary reimbursement for what they did. And so for me, I'm grateful for that. I'm just so grateful.
And I want to share with you, Joanne, because believe it or not, you have made an impact. I'm not going to divulge how I know things like that. But it's interesting that two of my neighbors approached me the other day, and they've been fighting Agent Orange for years. And both of them had their disabilities upgraded to over 50-60%. And they've been sitting there at the minus side for a long time. So things are opening up, and I think it's the kind of work that you're doing, and the fact that the public is getting a little more into it, if you want to say. And I do believe that there's a difference in administrations, and I think there's some sincere wish to possibly help problems that should have been taken care of years ago. I won't go any further than that, books like yours are very, very important. I'd like to, I see here, oh, we got a little bit of time. Have I ignored anybody? Who did I ignore? Participants. Okay, we got Karen and Julie and Mark and Joanne, Nancy and Lou. And okay, I'd like to kind of finish the last few minutes up. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Hultgren joined us and talked about a program that I'm excited about because it's working for me. Some of you are already utilizing it. In fact, I was amazed. I don't know how it happened, Mark, but in the background today, for some reason, my whole website was being played into my ear. I don't ask me how. I got to ask after the call. I'm going to get in touch with you because I didn't even have my website up on my browser. I'm listening to one article after another. What I want to talk about today is something that probably has little to no major importance to any of us. It may to other people, larger companies, and that's ADA and WCAG compliance for websites. Now, we know that the government says that if you have a store and if you have a website, your website, if your store is ADA compliant necessary, your website better be ADA compliant necessary. And we also know there have been a ton of lawsuits settled out of court for big money for major companies that have had websites that are not ADA compliant. Mark Hultgren, who is a longtime associate and good friend, told me that he had a software that he worked on that works very well. And my question, being the devil's advocate that I am, I says, well, nobody's going to, even like the food service business, who's going to really get mad that the website for the little restaurant is not ADA compliant? Because the rule says if you have over so many employees, la-di-da-di-da. Okay, that's where the ADA thresholds are. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, especially for authors, having your website ADA compliant allows people who would not have been to your website to be able to listen and change the font type automatically, and so on. And I'm going to let Mark go through a quick statement, not quick. I'm going to have him run through what the ADA compliant software does. And I also, Nancy, you've done your website, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I sure have.
And Joanne, did you do yours also?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I thought both of you gals did it. I don't know who else on the call has, but Mark, you and I went round and around about this. I don't feel it's legally urgent for Chuck or Nancy or Joanne, but I think we're offering a service to a broader audience, which helps in total sales. Mark, you want to take it away and tell us what ADA compliance is and what your software can do, please?
Okay, well, in the sales pitches that I put out there, mainly it's the law, just like a stop sign and a school zone.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, it behooves every website owner to adhere to the law. You know, eventually FCC will get involved and, you know, they'll just go through all the websites and you'll start getting flagged or one thing or another. You know how big government gets sometimes. But, you know, it's the right thing to do. I have a lot of friends that are disabled, blind, deaf, whatever. And what this script does is it allows them like your website playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You must have hit the text to speech.
Yes.
And then closed it. And in the background, it was generating that audio file.
Page after page.
Yeah, I couldn't do that if I tried.
See, so, mine doesn't. You know, I'm sorry. Mine does not do that. I have to click the for each sentence. It doesn't just continually read, which is all right with me. If it's in the way, I noticed, Chuck, when I went to yours, that newer thing you put up there, it immediately opened that up. And I thought, how do I get that off of there? And then that little wheelchair is over there. It might be that I didn't give it time, or maybe you have to scroll down to the bottom and then hit that and it reads the whole thing. I'm not sure how that works, but I like it. It's cool.
A lot of it is set up in your browser, or people that actually have the TTS software on their computer, they can have it set to automatically read sentence by sentence.
Mark, I have Nuance on my browser. Would that be the thing that worked? No, that's the other way around.
I'm not sure. There's so many out there, it's hard to say. But
so you're saying that if I was hearing challenged, which I am, but I haven't, you know, gone. But if I'm hearing or sight challenged, I would actually have a helper on my computer that when I went to an ADA compliant site, I would know what to do and it would work. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, that little handicap symbol, we tweaked the code so now we can have it set to automatically be open when they go to your site or closed.
Okay.
To automatically start with the audio or not. So it may be that yours was set to automatically start the audio. You know, sometimes when we test the code, it comes back and bites us, but
I'm sure not complaining, but I thought it was kind of strange. I kept hearing this noise. I didn't have my earbuds in, and I'm looking around. I hear this voice behind me, and I said, so I put my earbud in, and I said, well, that's my website that it's reading to me, and it's not even in my browser. It's gone. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. Mark, let me put it this way. Have people been responding to this, or do too many people think it's a waste of time, energy? Because I'm not going to say this is free, ladies and gentlemen. It takes Mark 3 to 4 hours to work in the backside of your platform, your CMS, to make sure that this is encoded properly. It's not free. The software has a cost, and Mark's time obviously has a cost. But how have people been responding to you about this, Mark? Do they think it's all a pile of BS or what?
Actually, I'm getting both sides. You know,
okay.
Some people are, I want it. I need it. I've got to have it on my site. And others are, well, when the attorneys come after me, then I'll get it.
Oh, that's a good time.
I said, okay, so you're going to pay them $50,000 to settle out of court and then come and talk to me for
$350. Right. Yeah, for $250. But now, here's the interesting thing, though. I want to give a disclosure. Most of these lawsuits are settled outside of court. The insurance company pays them, but then you've got a problem with your insurance company. Again, if you're a legitimate business and operating as a business, which some of us are and some of us aren't, I understand that. But again, for instance, the restaurant, if it's ADA compliant in the restaurant, even though it only has 7 employees, its website should be ADA compliant, because any Tom, Dick, or Harry could go to the website, see that it's not ADA compliant, and file with the ADA a suit or file a complaint. Now you've got to start.
It can be anybody.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be an attorney.
Right.
And there's plenty of attorneys out there just waiting for somebody to come up with an ADA. You know, it's free money for them.
It's free money.
They know they won't have to go to court.
Yep. Lou, have you had any experience in this at all? Okay, that's okay. I was asking Lou if he had come across.
Was that to me, Chuck? Repeat the question.
Yeah. Well, it was to you to ask you if you have come across any of this or,
No, not really.
Well, my feeling personally, after watching the internet grow since it started and social media being what it is and everybody telling me what the size of their pants are, so we get to know an awful lot of everybody. If you have an active website and if it is highly trafficked, you, as Mark said, it is a law. It is a federal law. However, most of us do not fall into the threshold. Isn't that correct, Mark?
Yes and no. You know,
okay.
Your website is a publicly accessible place of business.
Okay.
And it can be one person or it can be 10 million people.
Okay.
It's your traffic that you have to look at, not so much the number of employees, because with the number of employees, you're limited to how many people you can actually serve, correct? Uh-huh.
Well, if traffic is an issue, I don't have a problem.
That can change overnight, Lou.
we're going to send you a bunch of traffic, Lou.
You publish one book, it's a hit, and it makes the bestseller list on Amazon. You'll go from 500 hits a month to 2,000 a second real quick.
Yeah. Oh, that's the way to do it, Karen.
Mark is Facebook, and so I'm presuming that Facebook has that kind of compliance on it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the, I think it's in the Twitter accessibility, and it's got all those options in there.
Yeah.
You know, you can change the font of the text so it's more readable, get rid of the serifs. You can change the background, highlight links, highlight headings, Yeah, you can make the contrast between the background and the text really extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell.
I think that's right. Because a lot of people have trouble reading on devices. And if they change the background, that makes it easier and better for them. And who knows, Mark, now is this going to make Nancy a better writer too or not?
My software has limitations, Nancy. I'm sorry, but I enjoy your writing it anyway. Yeah, your sense of humor is just.
I need to get back unique. To writing. I have had someone was asking us, was that you, Chuck, about writing about COVID-19 and our experiences? Yeah, you are not going to believe what has happened to this woman during this time, staying home by myself. I mean, dangerous at home.
she just completely tore out the kitchen sink and rebuilt it.
Oh, God. And you know what's funny is I'm under that sink. I had a guy coming, but I thought, man, I put all that putty on there the last time underneath the faucet. And I thought, I got to get that off. That's all got to be cleaned up and nice for him to put the new one down, you know?
Nancy vacuums her floor before the housekeeper comes, you know.
Right. So I'm under there. And let me tell you, the way the sewer pipe goes, it doesn't go like most things straight down and out the middle of the underneath cabinet. No, it goes over and it goes out of place underneath another cabinet because there was a dishwasher over there at one time that never worked and we took it out. But back to the story. Anyway, I'm under there and it's like I had had my back out for 2 weeks, laying on ice, trying to type when I could and trying to walk. And I thought, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to screw this up. And so I get under there anyway, and I've got a wrench. And it's so tight, those things up there. And, you know, it kind of got a little rusted. And I'm hitting it with a hammer. And I turned off the shutoff valves and took off those things. And as I'm turning them off, they've never been turned off, they start spewing. And finally, I tightened it off well enough that I could get the pipe. But anyway, so I'm out there and I finally get these things loosened and get it all out. And I cleaned it all up and everything. And I thought, all right, I'm ready. I'm still alive. You know, I didn't do anything major. And so then the guy shows up at the door and I said, look, I got it all ready for you. He says, ma'am, that was the work right there. This other stuff is anyway, so he's putting it in and he gets down there and he tightens down those things, gets it all in and puts on the little, you know, feed things to the turnoff valves, which I bought new too. And he turns those things on. Well, now these turnoff valves go straight down to plastic. You know, they redid my pipes and it's all that plastic crud. You know, so you're metal to plastic. And I'm going, please, I said, be sure you don't break that. Anyway, and he turns them on and one of them is just blowing water and he gets it real tight. He says, do you have a shutoff outside? I said, yes, I'm headed to the garage. So I went out there and I shut it off. He thinks it's off and he took off the cold water. When he takes off the hot water, when it's spewing up because the hot water heater is full of water. You know what I mean? Hot water. And I walk in, and here he is. He's coming. He says, there's water everywhere. And he's soaked. He had been, he got it back on and got it. So he went to the hardware store and bought some new ones. And those little shutoff valves, two of them, $21.
Oh, my gosh.
Nancy,
You know, that sounds like one of my DIY plumbing exploits.
Oh yeah, and he said, I said, I'm gonna go shut the water off, make sure the water is off. He or turn it on after he's through. He said, turn it real slow, okay? And I said, okay. So I'm turning it really slow, and I'm thinking I need to run in there and see if he's hollering. Anyway, it's fixed.
Good. And I guess we're gonna have a blog post. We got a blog post coming.
That in the back and I turned the wrong way, thought I broke my hip. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's happening here.
And Nancy's not having any problems with COVID.
And they recalled my car, Chuck. You'll love this. Brand new car. Toyota sent me something they sent it out in January, but I didn't get one till May. And it said that it has a low pressure fuel pump that could stall while you're in traffic, causing you to have a crash. And they have recalled Lexus, Toyota, all kinds of things. Anyway, and I'm going, what? So I called Toyota and I said, what's the deal here, guys? You know, y'all don't want to tell me this? And they said, well, you know, it could happen, but it might not. I said, what about I've been in a expedition that died with the fuel pump and you can't steer it. You can't do nothing.
Yeah, you can't do anything. Right?
And I said, come get it. And they said, well, you can ride over. We'll send a tow. You can ride over. And first they told me to bring it over. I said, what part of not driving it do you understand? Anyway, and then they said, well, we'll send a tow truck. You can ride with a tow truck driver. And I said, what part of COVID-19, I'm wearing a mask. I am 70 years old. I'm not sitting in there with a dude I don't know all the way to Angleton 20 miles. Anyway, and they said, well, if you did that, we could then take you over to the Expedia in Lake Jackson, which is another 25 miles away, and get you a loaner car. I said, no. I said, this is how we're going to do this, just to make things short. You're going to bring a tow truck here and you're going to get my car. and I'm going to wave at him when he backs out. And then you're going to call Expedia and you're going to tell them to bring me a vehicle here. But it's not going to be a Toyota. And I'm going to drive it at $35 a day till you fix my car. They don't have a part. They have not figured out how to make a part to fix it.
Oh, God, I guess we're going to hear some great stories, ladies and gentlemen. I see some great content coming to the Widow's Blog.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, thank you, Nancy. Thank you. You know what? It's that time, even though Shirley is dozing, I promised I would finish the dinner tonight. I really enjoyed today. I think we had Julie Whitmer and Mark joined us again. I'd like to close today with reminding our listeners today and tomorrow and whenever you listen to this, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, we're joined today by Joanne Nesbitt. That's JoanneNesbitt.com. Joanne has her wonderful book, The High Cost of Service. In the back of that book is probably one of the best appendices for people who are concerned about PTSD and Agent Orange. NancyLouHenderson.com. Don't forget the Lou, that's L-O-U. NancyLouHenderson.com. The Widow's Blog is a delight. The four books are there. You can read Nancy's book on her website, or as most people do, hell, they just go to the buy all three, the fourth soon to be there, buy the books and read them as they're sitting in their nice chair. We've got Lou and Karen McIntyre, both of them are very accomplished authors. And Lewis McIntyre, I believe, is the website. Is that correct?
LEWIS-McIntyre.
Dash McIntyre. And the McIntyre is MCI.
INTYRE.
And Karen's website?
She doesn't have one.
Oh, okay.
He's on Facebook as Karen D. McIntyre.
That's right, Karen D. And I just want to give everybody on this call, you know, I'm a big promoter of websites, author websites. Karen does not have one, but I think you all heard that, 100 books at a whack, 100 books a month. When the average book that's put onto the market today in its lifetime only sells 250 to 300, here's an author, a husband and wife author team that sell books. The reason they sell books is they know how to engage with their audience. They've used social media, and they've also used public appearances to their benefit. So Lou and Karen are not big website people, but they've learned to market their books the way that makes them comfortable. Today we were joined by Julie Whitmer, from up in Ontario, Canada, a good friend of our friend, Peter Wright. Julie's site, I believe, is Julie Whitmer at WITMER.com. Is that correct?
JulieWhitmerMaps.com.
Oh, Julie Whitmer Maps, M-A-P-S. Okay, yeah. Very good. It's a wonderful website. It gives you a beautiful example of the work that Julie does. And, as we heard from some of our callers today, maps can be an asset to the book. We have M.K. Webb, as he's known on the internet, Mark Hultgren, again, a longtime friend and associate. And Mark, you keep changing things on me, and I have a bad memory. What is your hottest website today?
Well, I've got three primary websites.
Okay.
MKW-IND.com is the training and hosting and domains.
Okay.
The number two, GSM.biz is videos, audios, advertising. I don't know if anybody... Well, I know Nancy saw my video that I posted on Facebook, Be Like Bob.
Yeah.
and then
I like it.
the number 2, getsales.com. That is essentially my shopping cart.
Okay, very good. And Mark's expertise is in the area of, I don't know how to say this. He's IT. I mean, Mark has been around longer than most people have in this venue. He is an accomplished CAD engineer, has designed CAD programs for people to draw magnificent architectural wonders. But he also has developed products and training to help people like us. That's how Mark and I met each other. He's on this show, God knows how many years ago. This is the 465th episode, and Mark goes back to the first group. Jerry Callison, jlcallison.com, is with us, muted. And I'd like you to stop by. He has a beautiful library of books. One of the first ones that attracted me to Jerry was Rotund Roland, a very lovely, simple book that discusses growing up with challenges, if you want to call it, or bullying. I think it's a great book to share with other people who may have problems. But his most recent book, again, because of his granddaughter, right? Yes, your granddaughter. He wrote a children's book. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. The illustrations are phenomenal. And the story has meaning to it. So J.L. Callison, CALLISON.com. And who did I miss? 202. Who is 202 with us today? Didn't see them sneak in. Telephone 202-492. We haven't heard from them. I don't know who it is, but I guess they don't want to speak, so that's okay. 202-492. My name is Chuck Bartok. I can be reached Facebook, Chuck Bartok, Chuck.Bartok. I don't know why. I'm on Twitter, Chuck Bartok, capital C, capital B. Finally, after all these years, I have my own website, believe it or not. I had websites with other names. But I've tried to put things together over the years on one site, and its name is chuckbartok.com. I really encourage comments. I try to provide information that would be helpful for anyone building a business, regardless of the venue. So again, we'll be back next week, hopefully, God willing, and the river doesn't rise. It did come up about 3 feet, though, this morning, thank goodness. It needs a lot more than that. We're getting a little snow melt, too, off of Shasta and Lassen, and that's helping raise the river. We'll be back next week, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, for the 466th episode of You Can Build It, Your Business. Look forward to having new people and old people. If anybody listening today would like to get an invite every week, a reminder, go to Facebook, Chuck Bartok. Message me with an email, and that's all you'll get. You're not going to get any advertisements or anything else. You'll just get a reminder of the show, which a lot of people like. If I'm not going to have a show, you're not going to get a reminder. Last week we were dark for reasons that, you know, I had family issues that had to be taken care of. So anyway, we'll hopefully be back next Monday. Now, as we do every week, I'm going to leave, but we leave the room open so any of our callers can get to know each other better, share stories, share ideas. We're just going to stop the recording, and it becomes a private session. And I have heard in the past that some of these private sessions are 10 times better than the show. Thank you all for joining us. Chuck Bartok saying goodbye.